In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're at the midway point now of Great Lent, the Sunday in which we adore the precious cross. The cross is the greatest symbol of both denial and of freedom. Now, someone who's nailed on a cross is not free at all. They can't go where they want to be. But it is a symbol of freedom. Why? The Lord talks about it. The Lord says, whosoever will, whoever wants to, come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. Now there he's just talking about, if you want to be a Christian, then this is what you must do. First of all, it is your decision, your choice. Do you want to be a Christian or not? He offers you salvation if you wish to. And if you don't want to, you can live your life. And then comes the judgment. But if a person wants to follow Christ, let him deny himself. Why? Why deny? It's difficult to deny ourselves. What's good about that? What did Christ offer us? Didn't he say that in that day you will be free indeed? Doesn't he offer us freedom? True freedom? Freedom from our passions? Freedom from our weaknesses? The ability to make choices that are correct always? To be perfect? Isn't that what he offers us? So that we, in being free, can understand God who is truly free? Christianity offers freedom. Christianity is emancipation from the slavery of passions, from things which force us to do what we don't want to do. From, as the services say, necessity, when they say, as the petition goes, and deliver us from necessity. Necessity meaning things within us that force us to do things that we don't want to do, feel things we don't want to feel. A Christian will be delivered from all these things. How? The only way to be delivered from things which enslave us is to voluntarily enslave yourself. Isn't that what denying yourself is? Not giving yourself the right, the privilege, the opportunity to do what you want, but instead do what you should do. That's what self-denial is. And of course, the cross is a perfect example, an emblem of self-denial. The Lord allowed himself to be nailed on a cross, stretched out upon it, to be tortured and die. There's a lot of self-denial there. But the cross offers freedom, because only through self-denial can we realize freedom in our souls. This is why it's so important to try to follow the commandments. This is why it is so important to try to be obedient to God's will. Because in doing so, we become like Him. And in becoming like Him, we know Him. And He can open up to us beautiful things that we can't understand now, but we will understand in another age. Now the Lord came to the earth as the high priest, as St. Paul talks about, in order to make our flesh capable of freedom, capable of knowledge, capable of perfection. We didn't have it without Christ. But he showed us the path of perfection. His entire life was a life of self-denial. From the moment he was born, his eyes were set to Jerusalem. All he cared about was doing the will of his Father. no matter how painful the fulfillment of that will might be. And we see in his life it was quite painful. St. Paul is explicit. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with feelings for our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. The Lord was fully human. The Lord is fully human now. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he denied himself so that our human nature could be made truly free. It's the only path to freedom, is self-denial. Now there is no man that is less free than a slave who is told to do everything and beaten when he does not perform up to expectation. That is, in the world, that is, in the external plane of things. But in the spiritual plane of things, truly wretched is that person who is enslaved to their inner motivations, which they don't really understand, who's always unhappy with something, who's always hungry for something that they can't quite get enough of, whose passions gnaw at them and eat at them. Do you know that's the undying worm? That's the fire that's never quenched. Why is hell described that way? Because it is our passions which will never change, not in hell. We will be slaves to them. And they will torture us endlessly. A fire that is never quenched. Christ offers that we can quench that fire. That we can become truly free. Now, after the liturgy, we'll come out and venerate the cross. And we will prostrate before the cross. There's great symbolism in our prostration today. Normally, on Sundays, prostrations are forbidden by the typikon. And the reason why is because a prostration, in all cases save this one, today, is an act of penitence, an act of compunction, and has sorrow associated with it. In this case, though, the prostration is not an act of penitence. It is an act of joyful adoration, and it is a symbol acted out, as it were, sort of like a mini play of what our life is because of Christ. Before thy cross we bow down and worship. We bow down to the ground, but because of the cross, because of the resurrection, we can get back up. Human nature, which was bent over, prostrated against its will by its passions and weaknesses and sins, can get up, can stand tall, can be in the presence of God with true freedom because of the cross. Not just because of what the Lord did on the cross, but because of how he showed us the perfect way of life, which led to the cross. Everything the Lord did in his life led him to the cross. He was bearing his cross from the moment he was born. Have you ever wondered why at the end of this reading, the Lord sort of almost changes the subject? He says, and he was saying to them, "Verily I say to you, that some of them, there are some who stand here, which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power." Why did he say that? Well, right after this reading is when the Lord goes up on the mountain, Tabor, and is transfigured before his three disciples, so that they could see he is truly God. They could see the kingdom of God coming with power. But it means something else. It means a promise to all of us. No Christian should taste of death. No true Christian will taste of death before he sees the kingdom of God come with power. And what is that kingdom of God? The Lord said it's within you. And how does it express itself? By freedom. Freedom to make moral choices. To be able to do right. To be pure. To be without any sadness or sorrow about our actions. A Christian should feel this power. Now, certainly we still have trouble with our sins. But our sins should be, as it were, a retreating army. Still, that can cause damage. But we should be obliterating our sins one by one, bit by bit. And we should feel somewhat the power of the kingdom of heaven in us, making us free. Freedom is a word which is not understood in our society. I don't think in any society freedom is really understood. Only among Christians is it understood. Freedom has nothing to do with your station in life, with who tells you what to do, with whether or not you're able to conduct your affairs according to your own desires, or if you're a slave, or if you're under a repressive government. That has nothing to do with what freedom is. Freedom is not being able to do anything which makes us happy. Freedom is when in the heart we're not forced to do sins. When we have the strength, the ability to do what's right, what feels right inside. The Lord has planted that knowledge in us, in everybody. True freedom is being able to act upon that knowledge and to know that we have fought the good fight. Finish the course. Now all of us are on a continuum. Some of us are more free than others right now. Some of us will die still, not completely free from certain passions and sins. But the good news is that in the eighth day all will be made new. And those who have struggled, those who have struggled to deny themselves and take up their cross, even if it's only a small one, even if they drop it quite often on the way, everyone will be made new, completely free, completely. I tell you, this is why I'm a Christian. Because I don't like slavery to my passions. I've always hated it. St. Paul did too. He talked about it. That which I want to do, I can't. That which I wish to do, I cannot. Don't you hate that within yourself? That there are times you want to do right and you don't do it? As if you're being forced by unseen hands, pushing you in a direction you don't want to go? A Christian should feel this. Christ felt it. But he never sinned. So yes, it is possible to be completely free and to always make the right choice. To always be holy. It is possible. The Lord did it. The only way to accomplish this great thing is by continual self-denial. Not because of morbidity. We don't deny ourselves because of guilt. We don't fast because of any reason that we think fasting is going to get us to heaven. Or because we're afraid of breaking the rules. We fast, which is a form of self-denial. And we deny ourselves in every other way because this is the way that makes us free. What a beautiful word, freedom, as Christ defines it, to be free indeed. You'll be free if you deny yourself. Deny things that are going to go away anyway. They're all going to die. Let all of your passions die with your body. because you have struggled to deny yourself in this life. This is what the cross offers us. The cross is not an instrument of torture for a Christian. It's an emblem of victory. And what is the victory? Over death. But death is not just when the body ceases to live. Death, the death that is being conquered by Christ, is that which forces us to do evil when we want to do good. That's what keeps us from true happiness and true knowledge of God. The cross obliterates this death. And the Lord showed us the way of the cross. He didn't show us the way of the cross just the last few days of his life. He showed it the entire time of his ministry. Brothers and sisters, deny yourselves. Of your own will, make a choice that you as a Christian will struggle. That if you have not been praying, begin to pray with more fervor. If you've not been fasting, begin to fast. If there is someone that offends you, and when you think of them, you become angry. When this happens to you, rebuke yourself and say, "How dare I think about one of God's servants in such a way? Don't allow it." If you're greedy, force yourself to give alms. If you have trouble with lust, force yourself to look away and to think of godly things. And so on with every sin and every difficulty in life. Deny yourself for the sake of Christ. He did it. You can do it. And he did it so that you could be free. What a terrible thing. If we as say we are Christians, and yet we miss the essence of what the Christian life is, which is to become free. So that we'll know he who is truly free. May God help you to deny yourself. To take up your cross so that you can know Christ.